Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to find out what's going on at the St. Cloud State Veterans Center, and we're going to get a report on the recent Minnesota National Guard's Women Leadership Forum. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
A little more than 100 years ago, in the blowing sands of the New Mexico desert, our Army formed the unit now known as our 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. While they were initially known as the Sandstorm Division, it was during World War II the division earned its current name and its current motto. As the 34th fought across North Africa and Italy, their wary enemy bemoaned that all the unrelenting Red Bulls would do was attack, then attack, then attack. Today, proud Red Bulls across our state and nation carry on the legacy earned by our veterans, those that fought tirelessly during World War II, Iraq, and Afghanistan. To all of those who have and those that continue today to wear the Red Bull patch, I thank you for your dedication, your sacrifice, and your service. Red Bulls, attack, attack, attack.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We have two gentlemen joining us today so we can talk about St. Cloud State University and the veterans programs up there, which have attracted so many veterans to attend that higher education facility. And first, we have Jerry Belisco, Associate Dean of Students. And second, we have Zach Mangus, Director of the Veterans Resource Center at St. Cloud State U. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good to be here.
Jerry, I want to start with you today. You're the Associate Dean of Students at St. Cloud State, but I understand you served in the United States Army. Air Cav.
Yes, I did. I spent 22 years on active duty and was fortunate to serve in the infantry and the air cavalry.
And can you tell us, how did you get to St. Cloud State U?
That's a long story, but I started I was in the ROTC program at the University of North Dakota, did that for several years, and then transitioned to higher education there, and then eventually moved to St. Cloud State University.
And Zach, I understand you served in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
I certainly did, yeah. I had a good time while I was in. We actually were just right up the road at Sauk Center. That was my unit where we were located, but spent most of our time at Camp Ripley and then went abroad overseas during 2011-2012.
Served a little tour in Iraq.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
You know, it was a transition, that's for sure. It was quite hot. It was so hot when we landed, and we spent close to a year over there doing convoy escort security in and out of Iraq and during the drawdown. So,
we've actually had the show over to Kuwait twice, so I can understand that.
Okay.
111 degree,
oh, yeah.
Not sandstorm, dust storms.
Yep.
Gets kind of everywhere, and even our executive producer here today, Mr. Lee, has been over there with us and experienced sandstorm, dust storms over there, and so we know what that's a little bit about for a few days, but living in that for a year, that'd be tough.
Yeah, we had sand everywhere on every piece of equipment, and it was great to be back. Just going to the bathroom in a restroom, a normal restroom again when we got home. Yep.
And I understand you attended UMD, and then you got a graduate degree from St. Cloud State University.
I certainly did, yeah. I actually took a break during my graduate schooling over at St. Cloud State, and when we went abroad, I was, you know, pursuing a graduate degree. And I went for college counseling, student development, working with students, and we're doing that with veterans now up at SCSU.
So you decided to stay.
I did. I was welcomed back, actually. They called me back and asked me to fill in after the former director had left, and I came in and was interim for a couple of years, and then they offered me the permanent gig, and so I've been there for about a little over five years now.
We're talking to Jerry Belisco and Zach Mangus from St. Cloud State University on Minnesota Military Radio. Jerry, can you give us a little background on St. Cloud State, and can you explain to me why over 700 veterans attend up there?
Oh, yes, I can, Tom. St. Cloud State is a large regional, comprehensive university, comprehensive in the sense that we have over 200 majors, minors, and pre-professional degrees. Our central location is an advantage for almost anyone in Minnesota. We have a strong graduate program, and I think that we're very attractive to veterans based on the kinds of support and the programs that we have to help them be successful. We have a history at St. Cloud State of serving serving older students, serving adult students, and serving veterans. And we've parlayed that into a great support program, and we've seen a lot of success with those, with that clientele.
Zach, decades ago when I came back from Vietnam, I went to night school, and there were a handful of veterans there. There was a veterans center, and we kind of got together, but yeah. I can't imagine attending a university where there's over 700 veterans. Must be some pretty good support.
There is definitely, Tom. There's a lot of support. I mean, from the moment somebody, I mean, I'm talking with folks from the minute that when they're even deployed overseas, and, you know, sometimes a year or two in advance, we're emailing back and forth and discussing what programs would be beneficial for them, or they can start early. And so we have admissions, retention work support. We're helping folks really understand how to go about getting an education from the start to the end of graduation, and even within getting employed. So it's a really hands-on approach, and not a whole lot of universities are doing that. We've had a resource center since 2006, and we have a full-time permanent position there for somebody to work with our veterans, and it's been a great opportunity so far over the last few years.
Zach's got to make your veterans that are thinking about attending up there feel good that there's other veterans that have had the same experiences, been in the service, went off on deployments, and get that support, and just feel good about being around them as opposed to being surrounded by 18-year-olds right out of high school.
Right.
Which is okay, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's a big concern a lot of times when they come, but we do an orientation specifically for them, and they connect early on. We have a mentorship program available for them to participate in, and it's one of those things where we check in. We have donuts come, you know, it's like a USO really, and it's located right next to the bus stop. They can come in and go as they please, and it's a perfect place for them to connect with everybody else, specifically also with getting your education benefits set up. So it's a busy place, definitely, and our student veterans organization and is really active.
Great analogy, equating it to a USO. People understand that. Mm-hmm. Jerry, I want to come back to you as a university. Someone years ago, I don't know how long ago, must have made an active affirmative decision that you wanted to attract veterans.
Yes, we did. We had, you're familiar with our President Potter, when he came, that would have been about 14 years ago, really put an emphasis on that. And our president since then, both of them are very supportive of veteran programs. And it's allowed us to develop a lot of collaborations within the campus. So we're getting veterans support, being supported not only at the Veterans Center but all over campus.
So does that extend as far as housing as well? Are there buildings that are all veterans?
Yes, and I'd like Zach to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. You know, we don't have a building that's specifically for veterans, but we have a veterans living community. So if you're interested in living in with other veterans in the same area, we have a specific location for that. In Colburn Plaza Apartments, right. It's about two blocks away from our campus, and it's a beautiful place. And they get $1,000 scholarship for living in that group. So, and one-on-one, I meet with them every month, and they get connected throughout the campus community. So it's a great place to be.
Just another way to make the veterans feel comfortable up there. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about St. Cloud State University and the veterans program up there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with two gentlemen from St. Cloud State University, Jerry Belisco, who's the Associate Dean of Students, and Zach Magnus, who is the Veterans Resource Center Director up at St. Cloud State. And Jerry, I want to come back to you first here. St. Cloud State University, as we talked in the first segment, has done a lot of things to make the campus and the whole experience of going to college pretty comfortable for veterans.
It sure has, Tom, and it's been an effort that it's been an emphasis by our leadership on our campus, and it's been a lot of collaboration and hard work on a lot of people. It's not just us at the Veterans Center doing that kind of work. And we try to make it an experience from the time they walk in until they walk across the stage and beyond with their employment, put in those supports and those factors, that examples of families and dealing with families issues. And we have a child care center, and we have a lot of veterans and students that use that child care center. We have a lot of people in financial aid and other areas that work specifically with veterans types programs, and they're able to get them the support they need.
And Zach, we've been kind of talking about this the whole first segment now, but for the young people coming right out of high school and going to college, that's their single. They're going to college. It's a new experience. It's exciting. For your veterans that come back and they want to go to college, they could be 4 years older, they could be 8 years older, they could be older than that. And they come with family, and they come with jobs, and they come with other things they have to do. You apparently at St. Cloud State University accommodate them and make the educational experience a good one?
Well, we certainly do. I mean, that's the feedback that we've received. I think we do surveys at the end of the year, and every year we get about 98% success saying that they're enjoying themselves, that we're performing outstanding at the university in terms of their needs. Some of those needs sometimes are family members. There's issues and crises and emergency financial situations that come up, so we respond and get them support financially, and we do have scholarships and grants that we tap into. There's an emergency veteran scholarship that we fundraise for. And so throughout the year, we do a lot of different programs specifically just for veterans. And so some things like Breakfast with the Professionals, where we bring in employers, because we know that 12% of our student veterans are going for law enforcement. So we'll do a program such as that just for folks that are interested in law enforcement, business, same thing. So there's a lot of support like that in terms of getting employed and looking for employment, as well as those family situations that come up for folks who are, you know, needing a little assistance.
So very accommodative for the veterans and their families, and allow them to get to the steps, as you say, and get their degree. Jerry, right. You served 22 years active duty U.S. Army. You had a lot of experience there and went to a lot of schools. Does St. Cloud State help our veterans get any credit for those experiences and those educational experiences they've had?
Yes, we do, Tom. We work very close with MnState and with our partner institutions. There is an actual American Council for Education site where we go to and work with students to equate learning experiences and practical experiences, how that equates to perhaps various courses or various programs where they can get credit for prior learning. And there's another piece I wanted to mention that in terms of academic success, Zach receives information on our veterans and that professors provide, and so that we can and get them the kind of help they might need, or at least the intervention if they need, if that's appropriate, to get them on track or get them assistance so that they don't get in a place where they're having academic issues.
And Zach, you came to St. Cloud State U for a graduate program. Were there some good offerings for our veterans?
Yeah, there certainly are a lot of offerings. One of them specifically, too, is we have an MBA program that's actually available online completely, and also we have a Plymouth location here located just down the road that people can go to also and commute if they need to, if they can't get all the way up to St. Cloud and live in that, down in the cities. But business is very, very very highly sought after, as well as some of the social work programs that we offer and some of those criminal justice programs. And the faculty, 20-to-1 ratio, it's a wonderful place to go.
So for our listeners, if they want to learn more, I assume they can go to St. Cloud State University and look up the Veterans Resource Center?
They certainly can. They can give us a call at 320-308-2958.
That'll all be online at that site.
Yeah.
And Jerry, I want to come back to you. We just got about 30 seconds left, but I understand St. Cloud State has had some national recognition of their program for veterans.
Yes, we had. We've had three national awards recognitions that we've had. And in addition to that, we're a yellow ribbon company, so a yellow ribbon university, and that in itself is a big commitment that you need to make to student veterans in order to achieve that recognition. So we're real proud of that.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for coming to the studio today and joining us on Minnesota Military Radio, and keep up the good work up at St. Cloud State University.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Jerry Belisco and Zach Mangus from St. Cloud State University on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is David Adams, Major Public Affairs Officer for the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, who have started their deployment and are on their way to Kuwait. And Major, I understand you're down in Texas doing some training.
Hey, that's right, Tom. We just got here last Sunday. We've been here for about a week now, and we'll be here for about the next month.
So how's it going down in Texas, sir? How are our Red Bull soldiers?
You know what? Our troops are doing fantastic. They are, going through all the sometimes monotonous things that we have to get taken care of in order to go deploy forward and do our mission, but they're really doing a great job.
Now, sir, can you share with us some of the types of training that you're going to be doing down in Texas before you leave for Kuwait?
Absolutely. The first thing that we really jump into is what's called soldier readiness processing. It's essentially anywhere from 1 to 3 to 4 days of kind of administrative stations. It's essentially you're walking through kind of a hospital setting and you're getting your hearing checked, your eyes, your teeth, really all those things we kind of take for granted back home that, the Army has wisely decided they need to make sure is up to speed for all of us before we get sent over to, a little bit more of an austere environment. So I think we've got everybody through that at this point. This week we're sitting through some theater academic classes, which members of the 28th Infantry Division, who's over there doing the mission with Operation Spartan Shield that we'll be taking over for next month. They're over here providing us some training and some lessons learned and things that we really need to know before we get there. And there's also some Army Central Command folks sharing some stateside, viewpoints of the operations over there and stuff we need to know. And then we'll kind of wrap things up starting next week with a 10-day culminating training exercise that'll really replicate sort of our day-to-day work environment once we get over to Camp Arifjan.
And your mission once you get to Kuwait is to provide command and control for that part of the world, sir?
It is for a small part of that world. Really, Operation Spartan Shield, which is the segment of it that we'll be running, is really designed to maintain a U.S. military posture over in Southwest Asia. In order to strengthen our defense relationships, build the capacity of our partner nations, and if necessary, execute contingency plans.
So this is really a kind of a headquarters action for the Red Bulls. You've got the division commander and 650 or so soldiers and doing basic things like physical training and weapons training, and then you're going to do some simulation before you actually head over to Kuwait.
Absolutely, absolutely. We our mission is definitely to serve as that division headquarters, but we are checking all those boxes you just mentioned right now. I think we have we've got some troops downrange here at Fort Hood working on the Mark 19. It's basically the automatic. It's kind of a grenade launcher machine gun combination. They're training on that, so we definitely have to do all those things that everybody else does to get out of the country. But once we get there, we'll fall in as kind of the command element, and then there's 5 to 6 brigades underneath us that we'll really be providing support for. They work very, very closely with our partner nations over there.
So you do have to maintain your mission, but you're always soldiers first, right, Major?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. You got that right.
Major, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Women's Leadership Forum that just happened last weekend. And if you can, we'd like you to stay on and provide a couple of comments on that.
Sure thing. No problem.
All right, sir. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update on the Minnesota National Guard's recent Women's Leadership Forum. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
Hunting season is upon us, and as Minnesotans, hunting is embedded in our culture. Families, friends, and colleagues take part in hunting together, making memories last a lifetime. Each year, organizations around the state provide disabled veterans with the opportunity to hunt. As Minnesotans, many of us share the common bond of fishing and hunting. For many service members, it's the sounds, the smells, and the memories of the great outdoors that brings them back to Minnesota when they are away serving their country. Events like this connect our state's heroes with the best hunting guides while providing a therapeutic environment to heal in the outdoors. After all, it's because of the sacrifices of our service members and veterans that we are able to do the things that we enjoy most in the great outdoors. Thank you to the individuals, veteran service organizations, and private companies for giving your veterans, our veterans, these wonderful opportunities.
Thank you, Commissioner Chalideau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The 2018 Women's Leadership Forum is held annually by the Minnesota National Guard to promote equality and leadership development for the organization's female members. This year's event theme was Join the Conversation. The event focused on topics such as creating male champions for gender equality and the influence of unconscious bias in leadership and provided leadership, development, and career development opportunities to all attendees. And joining me now to talk about this is Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Merricks and Captain Ashley Morgan. Officers, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio for you, Colonel Merricks and Captain. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Ashley, I want to just talk to you as a setup. Can you tell us briefly what is the Women's Leadership Forum and why is it held?
Hi, thanks, Tom. Yes, the Women's Leadership Forum is an annual event that the Minnesota National Guard puts on every year to provide leadership development for its primarily its female members, but also to include some of its male members as well.
And that was just held this past weekend, and we still have Major Adams. Are you still with us?
Yep, I'm here, Tom. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. That's great. Sir, it's my understanding that the division was able to tune into the Women's Leadership Forum. Can you confirm that?
I can absolutely confirm that, Tom. It was important for our command group to be a part of this conversation. So they actually, much to the delight of many of us, moved some meetings and things around to free up that day. And we had the entire command team led by General Correll in there, as well as about 100 other soldiers.
Colonel Merricks, this is the Women's Leadership Forum. It must be pretty important when you've got people out deployed that are even tuning in to participate.
Yeah, absolutely. This is our leadership from on high and everywhere around knows the impact that this event has. And every year it just gets better and better with having the understanding of bringing everybody together. And so having the division being deployed to still be part of this and join that conversation was a big win for us.
Major Adams, thanks for staying over with us, and appreciate the fact that you were able to take some time, and we'll look forward to talking to you over the course of the next year.
Hey, thanks for the support, Tom. We sure appreciate it down here.
Thank you, sir. Captain, can you tell us how long has the Women's Leadership Forum been going on?
Yes, so actually this year was our fifth annual year of the Women's Leadership Forum. We've kind of evolved the topic to include more of the conversation, hence the theme this year is Join the Conversation, to include more of its the Minnesota National Guard's male members to talk about gender equality and leadership development.
We're speaking about the Women's Leadership Forum of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, we've had some folks on the show to talk about this forum for several years. It was my understanding that it's a place where some of the junior NCOs and junior officers can go and learn what it takes to get promoted, learn what it takes to move up in the ranks, and learn some things that might not readily be available otherwise.
Yes, that's correct. Actually, sort of the beginning years of the Women's Leadership Forum really focused on honing those skills for those junior soldiers to provide them some of the opportunity and the skill sets they needed to know how that they could climb the ranks and grow their careers. And as it's evolved, we've started to target mid-grade officers and NCOs to target some of the sort of what we felt were the shortfalls for their understanding and education. And so, yeah, that's the overall intent for the Women's Leadership Forum, was to provide some of those tool sets for those soldiers.
So, Colonel, is this actually a networking event where the lower-ranked soldiers can mix with and meet some of the senior NCOs and senior officers and learn or make some contacts and relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the main efforts of this, is to be able to connect our juniors and our mid and our senior together in an environment that isn't necessarily doing their MOS, doing their specific job, their skill set. So to put the junior, the mid, and the senior people in the same forum, the same room, really puts down different guards and allows mentorship, coaching, sponsorship to occur in a natural environment.
And you get to mix them up by military occupational specialty. In other words, if the mechanics are over at the motor pool all the time doing all their work, they know everybody there, but they might not get a chance to meet senior NCOs and officers on the rest of the base.
Correct. And to paraphrase General Safstrom, who's the Brigadier General Safstrom up at the from the 148th up in Duluth, he said this to me at the end of the day. He said, this is a great event. We need to keep doing this, because one of the things it does, it's the only real event that brings the 148th, the 133rd, and the Army National Guard together in a leadership type forum to be able to to work with each other and see what all the other different organizations are going on.
Captain, four decades ago when I was part of the 133rd, all I ever saw were airmen. And very few airwomen, but airmen. Never saw a soldier. Things have changed, hasn't it?
Right, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so this Women's Leadership Forum obviously invites both Air and Army members from across the state and really gets them together to talk about issues that may either cross the boundaries of the different the wings and the Army, or things that might be different that they can discuss. And really it's a forum where they can share their leadership experiences, share their lessons learned, and then share some techniques that they're using from a leadership perspective across the Minnesota National Guard.
Which is a lot deeper experience than just soldiers taking a ride on a C-130, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Colonel, you're shaking your head yes. One of the things that your Adjutant General, General Jensen, told me was when he became TAG, now he's intimately involved in the 148th and the 133rd, and of course with all of his soldiers, and he liked that.
Yeah, it's a great event, and to be able to do this early on in one's career, as opposed to spending your whole entire life not being available to see what's going on at the 148th and 133rd. But like you said, there's soldiers that don't necessarily know we have a wing up in Duluth. Now they know, and they're able to have that conversation.
Sir, not that I doubt you, but it's pretty hard to believe that they didn't know we had some F-16s up in Duluth and some C-130s out at the airport. But what a fantastic opportunity for our NCOs and officers, both airmen and soldiers alike, Captain, to get together and spend some time. And it's a whole day event, isn't it?
It is, actually. We usually start at about 0 in the morning. It goes until 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And we spend the whole day going through. We usually have a keynote speaker to talk about an overarching topic and along with the theme of the event. And then we have several breakout sessions where you can choose a different topic and go meet with really experts in their field about different leadership issues or leadership skill sets that they can learn to these different breakout sessions throughout the day. And then they also get a chance in between those breakouts to network with people, as you mentioned earlier, to really sort of expand their network and understand the overall organization better.
Colonel, last time I saw you were a major. I'm sorry, sir.
Colonel, it's all right.
This has just been going on for, about 5 years, and has it gotten bigger each year in terms of participation?
Yeah, so it's bigger is not the right word to use, because that's General Jensen actually talked about this, is the size of the number doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good, doesn't validate that the event was good. And so when I say bigger, this one we had about, like I said, 300 people in attendance, and then plus the 100 down there, so there's 400 people. However, this year we included our forward to deploy. We're connecting with our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies, and that's how it's getting bigger. That's how it's getting better, by partnering with our local community leaders and being able to touch the forward deployed individuals.
Very good, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to spend a little more time talking about the Minnesota National Guard's Women's Leadership Forum. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking the last segment about the Minnesota National Guard's Women's Leadership Forum, and my guests have been Captain Ashley Morgan and Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Merricks. And Captain Morgan, I want to come back to you. You've just recently finished the 2018 Women's Leadership Forum. And can you just give us a quick rundown? What was it about? What were you trying to accomplish? And how did it go?
That's right, Tom. Yeah. We just finished it this last Saturday. There's about 100 or over 300 attendees in person at the event, and over 100 attendees from Fort Hood, from the division headquarters, 34th Infantry Division headquarters, and down at their MOB site attending the conference. The topics, the discussion, the theme for that event was join the conversation. So the overall intent of the event was to talk about gender equality, create champions, male champions, and sort of bridge that gap the divide that there is about gender equality, to allow women and men to openly talk about what are the gender equality issues that we have and kind of open those doors about those issues.
Captain, part of the reason for this is every year there's more and more women serving. And when I was serving in Vietnam, there were very few. But now there's 18 to 20% of the force are women, and it's growing every year. So it's a bigger and bigger issue, isn't it?
That's right, Tom. Yeah, there's about 20% of our force that's women, and I do believe that's on the upward trend. So it is very important, and increasingly becomes important to talk about those issues as our force becomes more and more female.
And of course, the purpose of this forum was to get those younger soldiers and airmen together so that they can network with some of the older NCOs and officers and kind of figure out what they need to do to progress in their career.
Right. It's really a great event. Something that I don't think the generations before this have really had the opportunity as junior enlisted soldiers to be able to network with those senior ranking officers and NCOs and have an open forum discussion about what it takes to succeed. And what kind of leadership skills do they need to have to develop this early on in their career? So they really get to intentionally learn certain things and go after a specific path that they want to take in their career through this forum.
And, Captain, this forum was open to both men and women, and it was open to airmen and soldiers to kind of bring everybody together and make sure that they know the path forward.
That's right. It's actually, it's open to all of the Minnesota National Guard, both Army and Air, both the 133rd and the 148th wings. So they're all open to attend. It's no cost, obviously, for registration. And so we have a big portion come down, drive down from Duluth, and then obviously all the metro located, the 133rd, and then all the Army folk come in. Whoever wants to attend can freely attend this event.
So, Captain, did you get some pretty good feedback?
We did. We got great feedback, both from the division headquarters. They're very pleased with the content of the event and the outcome, and got really good feedback, especially on Facebook. We do Facebook Live the event every year, so got really great feedback there, and I think it was a very good success.
Captain, great job. Thanks for joining us today. I want to spend a little time with the Colonel now.
Thank you.
Colonel, can you tell us how long this forum has been going on, and what's in the future?
Hey, Tommy, the forum's going on for 5 years. This is our fifth event, and the future is where we're looking to go. Obviously, but in the past it was designated towards women, but as we've evolved, we found that we have to bring more men into the conversation. We have to bring an inclusive environment that brings everybody. And as our division, our wings, they do great at their military job. They do great in all the things that they do for their military leadership. But what we're trying to do now is just make a better rounded leader and bring these softer skills, some of these other people leadership skills, and provide an opportunity for them to be developed there. So as we go into the future, and that's what we're going to continue to rely on, looking at some of the up-and-coming innovative ways that leaders can be better developed outside of their traditional military side. The second thing that we try to do with this forum, Tom, is Minnesota is a great Beyond the Yellow Ribbon state, a lot of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon corporations. So we'll try to partner with some of those corporations and take some of their best practices and bring the forum to them. And it allows us to connect. It allows us to intertwine the Minnesota National Guard with their business and to show who we are. And our main goal is to continue to provide relevant speakers and innovative topics that will benefit our soldiers and airmen as they move throughout their career.
Colonel, we just got about a minute left, but we've said this is for men and women and soldiers and airmen, but The Minnesota National Guard, for all the years we've been on the radio, has been working on diversity in the force, and yep. and to match the force to the population of Minnesota. And as these young minorities join the Guard, they need to look for ways forward as well. So that's a big part of this, isn't it?
That's an absolute part of this. You know, as General Jensen talked to me about is this forum allows allows an inclusion for all, whether you're part of the minority or part of the majority. And as we as Minnesota diversifies and becomes more like the community that we serve, this forum is going to allow those individuals to further their career as well.
Very good, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Merricks and Captain Ashley Morgan talking about the Minnesota National Guard's Leadership Forum. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to the studio on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, it's October already, and every time we see you, you're usually on your motorcycle, and
yeah.
You like to go to all of these missions on your motorcycle.
We
you
do.
Put it away yet?
No, it's not away. It's just in the garage for the day.
For the day. So you're in your cage today.
I'm in my cage today.
All right. Unfortunately, you're going to have to do that this winter, aren't you?
Yeah, we all will.
Tell our listeners about who's eligible to become a Patriot Guard rider.
Anybody's eligible. You don't need to be a veteran. You don't need to have a motorcycle. You just need to have a 3x5 flag and the heart that wants to honor our military for what they do for us.
So it's not just a bunch of old Vietnam veterans riding their motor scooters.
It's right? Not.
Very good, sir. And how do they sign up?
They just go to our webpage at mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left side it says sign up.
And then what happens? They get notification of submissions?
They do. They put in their email address, and we'll send them just what's going on in their area, and they can choose whatever they want to, and we'd just love to have them there.
And most of your missions are you're sending troops off, welcoming them home, your favorites.
Yes.
And then you're attending funerals of our veterans who have passed.
Yes. And we also go to the things like the veterans' homes, and we go visit and play bingo and with the veterans, and you know, the prize for winning a card in a veteran's home is a quarter, and you wouldn't believe how much they really like hitting that quarter.
They must be able to get a can of pop for that or something.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Tim, I understand you had a chance to honor some of our World War II veterans recently.
We did. It's awesome. We kind of surprise them at the end of their visit. They fly out to Washington, D.C., and they get to see the monuments out there. And
this is the honor flights.
The honor flight. And when they come home, the Patriot Guard's there to welcome them home. And you wouldn't believe the looks on their faces. They're so honored. And it's just like they got off the ship from fighting a major war.
We've had an opportunity to go along as Minnesota Military Radio. It's a long day for those World War II and now Korean and some Vietnam veterans. Yeah. They get up 4 o'clock in the morning. They're leaving at 6 in the morning. They get home at 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah.
And Jerry Kaiser doesn't tell them that when they get off that plane and they come through those doors, there's a bunch of people waiting for them.
There is. It's an honor just to be there, to watch these old soldiers just
almost crying when they come there in their wheelchairs.
Oh, yeah.
How many riders did you have with you?
I think there was about 25, probably 30.
Well, that was a fun event for you, wasn't it?
It is.
Now, part of this thing when we send soldiers off to deployments, I know your favorite part's when they come home and you get to say, hey, good job.
Yep.
But you had a couple of units that were leaving over the month or so. Can you tell us about that?
Well, that's another honor to be able to do. We go there and line up and make sure that the soldiers and their families know that their community is there to support them for what they're doing for our freedoms.
And so you attended, did the 147th?
147th and the 34th Headquarters.
34th Headquarters Infantry Red Bull Division.
Yep.
And how many riders showed up for that?
I don't even know. You know, we're so spread out. We're lining hallways and doorways and everything else. It's just really hard to judge it.
I heard at that Serving Our Troops dinner over in St. Paul, there were about 5,000 steaks served, and they didn't all go to Patriot Guard riders.
Oh, no.
A lot of soldiers and their families.
There were.
Quite a send-off, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's fun to see the families, you know, together and things like that. And it's like you said earlier, it's a lot more fun to see them come home.
Now, Tim, one more time, anybody can be a rider.
Anybody.
And where do they go to sign up?
mnpatriotguard.org, Tim, and on the left side.
Glad that your hat of honor brought you back to the studio again.
Thank
today,
you.
Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Jerry Belisco and Zach Mangus from the St. Cloud State University, Captain Ashley Morgan and Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Merricks, Major Dave Adams, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelleto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the VA's compensation and pension evaluations and welcome our newest Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company to the show. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.